Bid you welcome in the Saviour's precious name to the house of God as you join with us at this service tonight. It's the gospel meeting here in Hebron. As you are there at home, we trust that as individuals, families, whatever way you meet, that you will meet with the Lord and be blessed as a result of being part of our gospel meeting tonight. We're going to listen to a hymn, one of the grand old hymns that we love. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And we're glad to be able to listen to this hymn from the past.
Two latter verses of this hymn are inscribed in the tomb of the great C.H. Spurgeon. It's a hymn of amazing testimony, and that's the only way to face life. It's the only way to face death. It's the only way to go into eternity, knowing Jesus Christ as your Redeemer and being able to know about that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and having plunged by faith into its crimson tide. We're going to bow together in prayer, seek the face of Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts in the presence of our God tonight. As we come to your house, as we come to your presence, as we come to your throne. We do so through the mighty, exalted, and all precious name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast exalted him far above all. You've given to him a name that is above every name. And before that name we bow, through that name we come. And Lord, we plead our prayers tonight in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is our only hope for any situation in life and death and eternity. We bless thee for the fountain that Almighty God opened all those centuries ago for sin and for uncleanness, when the Lord Jesus was sent into the world to be the sacrifice for our sin, and there upon the cross of Calvary to offer himself up as that once and for all sacrifice forever. We bless thee for the bleeding Lamb of God. We thank thee for all that he came to do, representing us in every way. And tonight, Lord, we stand upon redemption ground in our approach to thee. We rejoice in the blood that has cleansed us and made us whole, washed our sins away, made us clean in the sight of God, and we're justified freely tonight through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We therefore have a standing. We therefore have grounds upon which we can approach our God. And so we come with holy boldness through Christ, and we pray for his sake and for his glory. Thou wilt hear and answer prayer as we come to plead now for this meeting that is to take place tonight. We thank thee that we have the means of broadcasting our services on the internet. And we praise thee that out there right now our congregation is meeting. People are joining this service. They're being part of what is happening here in Hebron. And we thank thee that even thereafter, as these services are uploaded to the internet, that they can be listened to and will be listened to by many others. And it is our earnest prayer that this meeting will have an impact upon our hearts and lives, that God will do a work within us. We always feel it to be a tragedy if we can come to the house of God and leave the house of God and conduct a service of this nature, and for people just to be unaffected, not to think about spiritual and eternal things, but just to leave a meeting the way they came. Lord, don't let that happen tonight. Right now, prepare every heart for the hearing of the Word of God, for the singing of the songs of Zion. We pray for that preparation of heart because it comes from God. And Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and visit with us, to work in every heart, to move in our spirits, to bless your servant as he comes later to preach the Word, as our brother Mr. Laverty opens up the Bible and reads it and preaches upon it. May he be very conscious that there is one standing with him, that there is one indeed filling him with all the needed graces and power and wisdom to bring the message of God tonight. Lord, what a solemn responsibility it is to stand in a pulpit and to bring a word from God. We pray that that will be instilled into our minds and hearts as we come to divine truth later. It's a message from the Almighty to our hearts. And so we pray that we will receive that word will have an influence, a sway in our lives, will change us. Lord, we're constantly being changed. Your word is constantly having an effect upon us. And so we pray that there will be the word of God backed home to our hearts by the power and ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We pray for any unconverted who will listen to the word tonight, that thou wilt deal with them in grace, that thou wilt melt their heart, that thou wilt show them the Savior, the one who is mighty to save. We thank thee for that irresistible drawing power of God that brings sinners to the place of submission where they understand their need and they turn in faith to the Savior. Lord, may that happen tonight. Let the power of God fall, and may your name be honored, glorified, and magnified in our midst. Very conscious, too, that just now so many of our other sister congregations are meeting. Ministers and students and laymen are in our pulpits tonight to declare Christ. Bless every faithful pulpit this evening, and may signs follow the preached word. So help us to settle down into this service tonight, and may your name be honored as a result of us coming together. Remember the sick, remember the suffering, remember the sorrowing. Lord, you know them one by one. Minister to their needs just now, in Jesus' worthy and all precious name. Amen. In fellowship the one with the other. And I remind you what's happening now in the incoming week and a little bit thereafter. Tomorrow night there is a management committee of our school, and that will be at 8 o'clock, and that will be on Zoom. Tuesday night is the youth challenge at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Facebook. We want to thank the team that look after the children's work Tuesday by Tuesday. Wednesday night is the monthly committee meeting at 8 o'clock on Zoom, and then Thursday night is the youth fellowship at 8 o'clock, and that is also on Zoom. Reverend Joshua Moffat will be speaking on the book of Micah, and the young people have been asked to read this prophecy before Friday night. Could I also say that on Friday evening, the missionary council takes place at 8 o'clock for all our missionary council representatives through our churches. And then next Lord's Day, the early morning prayer meeting at 8 a.m. These prayer meetings have been going exceedingly well. We're glad to see those who have been in attendance even this day at the early time, and then the prayer meeting before this service at 6 o'clock. Families gathering, children gathering, and that was a real blessing to see that. Sunday school is at 10:30, and that's on the Hebron Facebook page. The Bible class at 10:30 on Zoom, and the subject that Mervyn is dealing with is the disciples, and Simon, the zealous apostle, will be the disciple that is looked at on the Lord's Day. The worship service, 12 noon, the gospel meeting then at 7, and all these services going out on sermon audio, Facebook, and on YouTube. Do remember the time of prayer, 6 o'clock to 6:30 on Zoom next Lord's Day evening. And let me thank you again for your tithes and for your offerings to the work of God here at Hebron. Now, we mentioned many aspects of the mission field this morning. I'm not going to go into the same detail tonight, but I will ask you to remember the work there in Brazil. Pray for the city of Manaus and the other cities that have been so affected by COVID-19. There are many people dying. We know that in the city of Manaus alone, 200 people are being buried every day. And so it's a real tragedy that's happening there. It's affecting the mission. It is affecting the churches. And distribution is being made to the poor families. Pray for that. Pray for the ongoing situations in Romania, where we have been able to help with this particular Roma family. And this poor man who was ill during the week, he was given some help with food, medicine, and warm clothing. The Word of God, week by week, is being shared in Pakistan, sometimes, most times on the Lord's Day, and also through the week. And then we remember the school ministry, as these children are receiving an education and being taught in the things of God also. We ask you to pray for a young man, Victor, who has become a victim of circumstances. His parents were beaten up by Muslims, and he was brought to this lady's home to be looked after for the next little while. And then the mission board has been able to send emergency aid funding to the Philippines to help with the poor families in this time of crisis for them. COVID-19 again has been a problem there, and recently there was an earthquake that shook this particular part of the Philippines. Noring sent some pictures from Uganda showing us the latest harvest of the maize there. They got 17 bags, that's more than the last time, and these young men were delighted to be doing the harvest, getting the maize into the bags and taking it home to the storehouses. Now these are all the announcements that we need to make tonight. I'm going to listen to another hymn. It's not in our hymn book this time, but it's that lovely hymn, "I Heard an Old, Old Story," and I trust that it will be a blessing to you as you listen to it now. Thank you. I just remind our own people that the revivalists, that's the old term, the Vision magazine is at hand, and you can get your copy. If you want to get it early before you're back to church, let me know, and I will try to get that out to you. There's a great article here on the Welsh Revival, that mighty move of God back in 1904, when that principality was shaken by the power of God. And there is the tribute there to our brother, Dr. Alan Cairns, who is very much loved by this congregation. We do commend it to you. There's also an article in Private Prayer, and that's a great article. We commend it to you. And then at the back, of course, the missionary section. And we're always interested in the missionary work in this congregation. And so there's an article there on Pakistan. There's one on India. There's another one on Uganda. And then a report from our home missionaries as well. So the Revivalist is available, and we commend it to you. It is a personal joy and delight tonight to welcome to our pulpit here in Hebron the Reverend Tom Laverty. And we're going to ask him to come and bring the message that the Lord has laid upon his heart. Brother, you're very welcome. If you can just look over the pulpit and say hello to you. You're very welcome here in Ballymoney. And we're looking forward to your ministry tonight. May you know the help of God. The church has been praying for you. They've been saturating you in the prayers of God's people. So you come, brother, and preach out your heart to the people that are listening tonight. Thank you.
Let us turn tonight in the Word of God, please, to Matthew's Gospel and to the 11th chapter. While you're turning to that, let me thank your minister, Reverend Park, very much indeed for his very gracious words of welcome. It is a great joy to be here in Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. It is always a privilege to say a word for Jesus Christ. It is always a privilege to stand before a people and open the book and to say something for Christ. That is the greatest privilege bestowed upon any man. And I want to thank Mr. Park for this opportunity to open the book in this house tonight. So Matthew chapter 11, please, well-known portion. Matthew chapter 11, and we're reading together from verse number 20. Matthew 11, verse number 20. Let us hear the word of God. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let us just unite our hearts together, please, in a moment's prayer. And just there where you are in the home, or wherever you're watching this message from, you just bow your head and your heart before heaven. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for the preacher. But let's all seek the face of God. Let us all unite our hearts together. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, In the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. And we thank thee tonight for the Son of God that loved the church and gave himself for it. We thank thee for the one who came in the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And O God, as we stand here at this juncture, we confess our great need of the help of God, the Holy Ghost. We give ourselves afresh to thee. And we pray, O God, tonight for the moments that remain, that every home will be closed in with God, that it'll be the very gate of heaven to their hearts. O God, I confess before thee my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what is before me now in the meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Forgive my sins, for they're many. Wash me in the blood of my Redeemer, and fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant a divine anointing, the anointing to preach, the anointing to hear with profit. We stand into the victory of the cross. Let the blood of the Lamb prevail, and every power of darkness be bound. For we ask it all in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The place was a privileged area. It was Capernaum, that place on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was in the land of Gennesaret, on that rich and fertile plain. It was there where Christ had preached many times and came to hear him. So many came in one occasion that the house where he was would not hold them all. And it was to that same house that four people went onto the roof, removed the slates, and let down their friend sick of the palsy, that Christ might save his eternal soul. And Christ did save his eternal soul. It was to that young man sick of the palsy that Christ said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." It was also in Capernaum where our blessed Lord and Redeemer made the great statement, not only to those in his day, but to the world in general from the page of the canon. It was in Capernaum that he said, "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." And it was also in Capernaum, as we have seen, where we have read tonight, many mighty miracles were done in the sight of the people. It was a privileged town. Christ preached in it. He did miracles in it. He saved in it. It was also a town where Christ himself lived at times. Matthew 4 tells us, leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Oh, Capernaum and its privileges. Our Lord preached in its streets, did his miracles, a town greatly privileged. But it was a town also that had one of the most glorious invitations ever issued by anybody anywhere in the world. And I refer to the words at the end of Matthew 11, words that I want to leave before you tonight in this meeting, beginning at verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's to those words, especially verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's to those words that I want to leave before the congregation tonight in a message that I've entitled, "A Glorious Invitation from a Glorious Christ." A glorious invitation from a glorious Christ. The first thing I want to show you is the recipients of the invitation. The recipients of the invitation. In the strictest setting, it is to those before our Lord in Capernaum that this invitation was first given. Christ here is in Capernaum, this town, as I have said, that was so privileged. And that's the geographic position of the recipients of this invitation, those who dwelt in Capernaum. But since, dear men and women and young people, since the text that we have before us tonight has been placed in the canon of Scripture, the recipients of this invitation are the lost people of the world who hear the gospel being preached unto them. It's a world of sinners. It's unsaved work colleagues. It's believers, family members who are still without Christ. It's those who hear the preacher take this text and on behalf of Christ issue the great invitation to come to Christ, to seek Christ, to be pardoned by Christ. It's to those who are heavy laden by sin and weary of it. Oh, dear people, listening to this message, the mercy of Christ that's seen in this text, to those who have plunged into the depths of sin and believed it would make them happy ever after and found it was all broken cisterns and misery. It's those poor sinners finding life and the results of sin that has left them weary and heavy laden. And I want every listener just at this moment in this message to understand a very simple truth, and especially young people that are listening to this message with the whole life ahead of you, so to speak. Sin, by its very nature, removes all peace and gives nothing but burdens and heartache and weariness. Sin, by its very nature, removes all peace and gives nothing but burdens and weariness. It was in the beginning, and it has been ever since. Come with me in your mind to the Garden of Eden, when man fell from that high and holy estate in which he was created, and he plunged himself into misery and burdens and a heavy laden heart, all of which was alien to man in his innocency. And the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that since that moment when Adam fell from the high and holy estate in which he was created, this world has been one catalogue of heartbreak, broken homes, broken hearts, broken lives, broken souls, all because of sin. And it's to such the invitation comes. The recipients of this invitation are those in Adam, those who are living without Christ, those who are traveling down the corridors of time without a Savior, without an anchor for the soul. Let me say it again. Weariness and burdened by sin actually testify to the truths of this book. Let me say something else about sin just at this moment. Sin promises the participant pleasure, but hides the pain and sorrow and regret, which is the reality that surely comes with it. Let me repeat that, especially to our young people. Sin promises the participant pleasure, but hides the pain and sorrow and regret, which is the reality that surely comes with it. The recipients of this invitation, a world of sinners, a world ruined by a fall, a world of people who live in a wilderness that used to be a paradise. Christ says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The recipients of the invitation. Secondly, I want to show you the source of the invitation. You and I know what an invitation is, and on many occasions it's a wonderful thing to receive one. But no invitation was ever received as wonderful as this one. And the reason for that is quite simply the one who sent it. Because the source of this invitation is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Mediator, the Savior, the God-man. It's the Savior calling the sinner. It's the one who knew no sin and couldn't sin, and in whom was no sin, calling ones who never do anything but sin. That's the source of the invitation. The source of the invitation is Christ. And dear unsaved friend, watching this meeting, listening to this meeting, driving your car at this moment, listening to it on your phone, whatever way this is coming to you, you will never in God's earth receive a greater invitation. Christ is inviting the sinner. Come unto me. That's what makes the invitation great. It's because of the source of the invitation. It's Christ inviting his enemies. It was an invitation of love to those who know nothing of God's love, nor do they want to. It was the invitation from Christ to the Redeemer. And I speak to one tonight, and you've lived to this moment, and Christ has meant nothing to you, and yet again tonight, for I don't know how long, the invitation comes, come unto me. Maybe I speak to some associated with Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, and this invitation has come to you for decades. And you've never answered it. And again, Christ in tenderness through this message says to you again, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The recipients of the invitation, a world of sinners. The source of the invitation, Jesus Christ our Lord. What about some details of the invitation? As I've already said, the invitation presents the person of Jesus Christ. My dear unsaved friend, look at the text again. Come unto me. Do you see where Christ is calling you to? He's not calling you to a church. He's not calling you to religion. He's not calling upon you to turn over a new leaf. He is calling on you to come to him. He's calling the sinner to himself. Oh, hear the Savior call, I say. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Details of the invitation. Let me give you some now. The invitation was to be Christ because religion doesn't save. Religion doesn't give peace. Religion doesn't save. Turn with me in your Bible, please. Go over a few chapters to Matthew 23. If you're listening on and you haven't a Bible, don't worry. I'm going to read the verse anyway. But Matthew 23, we read these words. Matthew 23, verse 4. Christ here speaking about the Pharisees. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. Now, Christ here is speaking of the Pharisees. The Pharisees in the days of Christ were religious leaders who put burdens upon the people which were hard to bear, and it wasn't the gospel. It was works religion unto Christ this day. And they had been trying to do this and do that and earn their way to heaven. But to those in Capernaum and to those tonight from this pulpit in Hebron listening to this message that are maybe caught up in works religion, Christ says, come unto me. Look away from it. Look to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Look away from church and sacrament. Look away from all your efforts to get you to heaven and please God. Christ says, come unto me. The invitation was to Christ because religion doesn't save. The invitation was to Christ because of Christ's holy life and atoning death. We make absolutely no apology for what I'm about to say from this pulpit. Our desire for every unsaved soul listening to this message is that you come to Christ, is that you're saved. Turn to Romans chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 10. thinking about the holy life and atoning death of Christ for sinners. Here's the Apostle Paul, Romans 10, the first four verses, and you really see the heart of this man. You see the heart of a preacher. Look at Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, in Romans 10, we have a people trying to get to heaven by their own merit. And Paul mourns this situation. He says in verse 2, they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. And dear friend watching this meeting, if your hope for eternity is not according to this book, it's not according to knowledge, and it's not going to work. You're going to find out, as these people were going to find out, that's why Paul's so burdened, they were going to find out that their hope, when the end came and death came, they were going to find out it was no hope at all, because it wasn't based upon the book. Paul says of these people, I bear them record. He's saying, I'm just going to tell you what they're like. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Paul's heart is broken. My heart's desire. Heart's desire in Paul put him to his knees, because then he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for these people is that they would be saved. And then he goes on to explain in verse 3 what their problem was also. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And what Paul was stating they were doing, they were bypassing the righteousness of God. Let me ask you something. Who is the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ. They were bypassing the righteousness of God, and they were trying to get to heaven on their own merit. And it didn't work 2,000 years ago when Paul showed us this. And it doesn't work tonight, my unsaved friend, listening to this. You see, it can't work. Your works, your labors, my labors, they cannot satisfy the law's demands. Let me take you to the Ten Commandments a moment. The Ten Commandments is the moral law. But the Ten Commandments, my unsaved friend, demands from you and me perfect obedience. You haven't given it. I certainly haven't given it. I can't give it. You can't give it. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by nature, we're sinners by practice. But Paul's speaking here about a people who are trying to do their best. They're trying to get to heaven by their own merit. They're bypassing Christ. But you see, as I'm showing you here, the moral law demands perfect obedience. I can't give it, you can't give it, I haven't given it, you haven't given it. We have got a massive problem, but the problem solved in verse 4. Look at Romans 10, verse 4. For or but Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That word end, it just simply means fulfiller. So you could read it like that. Christ is the fulfiller of the moral law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, sinner, to everyone that looks to Christ. There's a righteousness to cover your guilt. Understand this, my friend, tonight as you listen to me. Every step that Jesus Christ took from the manger to the cross, he took it for sinners. Every moment was an obedient moment. Every moment he was fulfilling that law that condemns us. And then our blessed Redeemer's life, it was always leading to Calvary. Luke 23 says these glorious words to every saved soul. They rejoice in these words. And when they were come to the place called Calvary, Why was he there, unsafe friend? He was there for sin. Whose was the sin? Well, it wasn't his because he didn't have any. It was this man standing behind this Mike's sin. It was sinners like you and me. Christ went to that cross of Calvary, having given perfect obedience and life. He went to that cross. He shed his blood that satisfied divine justice. He shed his blood that propitiated divine wrath. He shed his blood that cleanses from all sin. Cleansing blood, John called it. Cleansing blood. Peter called it precious blood. But there was only one that could say, my blood. This is my blood that was shed for many for the remission of sins. And sinner, the one that lived for sinners, the one that died for sinners, is the same one that stood in Capernaum and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sinner, look to a finished work, a work that never needs to be repeated. I say unashamedly, look away from church and creed. Look away from sacrament and confessional. Look away from Mary or the prayers of the saints. Maybe there could be a dear Roman Catholic listening to this message tonight. And you've no peace, and you know it. And you hear the call, come again from Christ, look unto me. I remember reading an account one night at home of a discussion between a young man who was training for the Roman Catholic priesthood and a cardinal in the Roman Catholic Church. And the young man who was training for the priesthood got very perplexed. Very disturbed, because he lifted a Bible and he began to see that the Bible and the Church of Rome didn't agree. And he began to see that the emphasis that the Church of Rome put upon Mary, he couldn't find it anywhere in the Bible. And he's training to be a priest, and he has no peace, and he goes to the cardinal, and here is the narrative. The young priest said to the cardinal, troubled in his soul, he said, Cardinal, who saved sinners upon the cross? Was it Christ or Mary? The cardinal said, it was Christ. Well, Cardinal, who paid sin's debt on the cross by his blood? Was it Christ or Mary? The cardinal said it was Christ. Cardinal, when Jesus Christ was on earth, who loved the sinner more, Christ or Mary? Christ, I suppose. Cardinal, did any sinner in the Bible come to Mary to be saved? No, that didn't happen. Cardinal, do you remember if any sinner came to Christ to be saved in the Bible? Yes, many came to Christ and were saved. Did Christ ever rebuke them when they came? No. Did Christ ever say to a sinner, go to Mary, she'll save you? No, he didn't. Cardinal, if I read my Bible right, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Is that right? Yes, that's right. Cardinal, who was more powerful to save sinners? Christ or Mary? Christ. Cardinal, I've just got two more questions. Since Christ and Mary are both in heaven, can you show me in the scripture that Christ has lost any of his power or desire to save sinners or that he has delegated that power to Mary. No, I can't show you that. Well then, Cardinal, why in God's name do we not just tell our people to look to Christ? And the Cardinal was silent. Unsaved friend, wherever you're watching from, Protestant, Roman, Catholic, I care not. Look to Christ. Look to Christ alone. He's all you need. His life of obedience will cover your guilt. His precious blood will wash away your sin. The recipients of this invite, a world of sinners. The source of the invitation, Christ our Lord. The details, a person of our Lord, finished work, atoning death. Let me give you another couple of details. There's a promise in the text. Go back to Matthew 11. Dear unsaved, listen with me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a person that makes this glorious promise. I will give you rest. As I said earlier, rest marked the high and holy estate in which man was created. But since the fall, sore hearts and heavy laden souls have marked the estate of sin and misery into which we fell in Adam. But in this text, Christ promises to all who come in repentance and faith, I will give you rest. Rest that flows from Christ's blood. Rest that flows from forgiveness of sins, pardon for sins, peace with God. The witness of the Spirit witnessing to your soul, it's well with you. Your sins are all forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. I think it's the most beautiful word, or one of them in the Bible. Forgiven. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. What will it mean for you, sinner, to be forgiven by God? It'll mean that all that's in Christ is yours. You're accepted by God. Heaven's your home. The Holy Spirit's your comforter and guide. It means something else. The saved soul, the forgiven soul, can go home and put their head on the pillow. And if they don't wake up, it's okay. They're forgiven. I will give you rest. Rest for the soul. Rest that flows from forgiveness, pardon, assurance of God's love. Maybe one listened to this and you say, preacher, that's all very good, but I have done some terrible things that I'm not very proud of. Dear unsaved friend, the gospel is the message of the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ, through his finished work, through his holy life and atoning death. I spoke a moment ago about a cardinal. I'm not a cardinal. Your sin is not my business. I am here as a gospel preacher to stand in this pulpit and tell you that Christ says, come unto me and you'll be forgiven, pardoned. The blood will wash you. His righteousness will cover you. The promise is here also in the detail. Let me show you something else about the promise in the detail. The promise in the detail is also seen in the duration of the promise. Look at verse 29 of Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Christ is speaking about the soul. Now, that you would know the soul of man, the soul of woman is eternal. And thus the rest that Christ is speaking about in the text is eternal rest. Heaven, paradise, the city whose builder and maker is God. It's eternal rest. It begins on earth. It continues forever in eternity. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden because of the effects of sin, I will give you rest. You'll find rest unto your soul. There was a Scottish preacher. He was called Horatius Bonner. There were three brothers in that family of the Bonners. Well, there were more than three brothers, but there were three of them in the Christian ministry. Reverend Horatius Bonner, the Reverend Andrew Bonner, and the Reverend John James Bonner. They're all ministers in the Free Church of Scotland. And Horatius Bonner penned some of the most beautiful words when he penned one of the hymns we have in our hymn book. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary head, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Dear burdened soul without Christ, Christ says to you again tonight, come. Come unto me. Come unto me and enter into eternal rest. Begins on earth, takes you through death into God's eternity. One of the most beautiful portions in the Word of God is John 10. It's that portion where Christ describes himself as the Good Shepherd. Christ said in that portion, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Sinner, come to Christ tonight, turn from sin, repent, believe the gospel, and if you come to him, there's nothing in life, there's nothing in death, and there's nothing in eternity that can take you from Christ. No man, Jesus said, is able to pluck them out of my hand. He loses none. He loses none. The word pluck, it means snatch away. And Christ tells the sinner, because we all have heard the argument that the devil fills the sinner's mind with, you'll never keep it. Come to Christ. He keeps you. It's not possible for one that Christ saves to be plucked away. The recipients of the invitation, a world of sinners, the source, Jesus Christ our Lord, the details of it, presents a person, gives a promise that leads to eternity. Finally, let me close. There's absolute terror surrounding this invitation. You say, preacher, terror? Yeah. Absolute terror. I want to remind you what I said at the start. The glorious invitation was first given in Capernaum. A town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, a place where Christ preached, a place where Christ saved, a place where Christ worked. And yet Capernaum is one of those places that Christ says, woe, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. And the terror is this. The original recipients of this glorious invitation from a glorious Christ rejected it. And tonight they perish. Christ preached in their streets. They heard this invitation and they rejected it. And the terror of the text is that tonight the original recipients, the majority, are lost. What's the challenge of the terror surrounding it? The challenge is this. Will you accept it? Will you come to Christ? Will you seek the Lord while he's to be found? Call upon him while he is near? Will you tonight come to the Savior? See, my friend, there's some examples in the Bible, and they're definitely not to be followed. Here's one of them. Don't do what these people did. They rejected the invitation. They rejected the invitation to come to Christ. The majority of them are perishing. But let's just leave the town of Capernaum. Come forward 2,000 years to the town of Balamone. What are you going to do with the invitation? Forget about the preacher. Forget all about me at the minute. This is between you and God. Christ says, come. Look away from everything else. Come unto me. If you come, he gives you a promise. You'll be saved. He'll give you rest. It leads to eternal rest. Sinner, it's all there if you come. All you need's in Christ. Pardon, forgiveness, peace. But if you don't come, there's no other message. Come to Christ tonight. Never preached in this pulpit before, but I'm just looking at the sign above the door. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to come to Christ tonight. Will you come? Young person. Wherever you're sitting right now, and I don't know where you're sitting, but if God is speaking to your heart, come. Older person, maybe coming to Balamone for a lifetime. And again, this gospel invitation comes to your ear. Come. Less. This be the last gospel invitation you ever hear. A glorious invitation from a glorious Christ who did a glorious work to take sinners to a glorious place. But you must come. And you must come now. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Mr. Park, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we thank thee for bringing to our attention tonight this glorious invitation from such a glorious Christ. We think of the city where he made his headquarters, the city that was exalted to heaven, and yet one day will be brought to hell because they heeded not the invitation that was given. We know that we're dealing with such a serious matter tonight as your word has been presented. May sinners heed the invitation and seek Christ, for it's time to seek the Lord. May they do it tonight. Bless your word. Honor your Son. Thank thee for your servant who has come to bring the message. We pray that you'll bless him, direct his path, keep him for the glory of God in time to come. For Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Appropriately, the closing hymn tonight in our hymn book is 701. And it begins with the word come, this wonderful invitation that you've been hearing about tonight. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today tenderly saying, come. You have the words before you. You will have the words before you on the screen. Our sisters will play the music. Please think of the words and sing them over in your mind and in your heart. And as you do so, may you come to Jesus Christ. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the eternal home in heaven. We thank Thee that the believer is going there one day, and joyful, joyful will that meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with Thee in our eternal home. There's some tonight, Lord, and they're not going to the eternal home, that out of Christ without a Savior, they're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And if they die in their sin, they'll be lost in hell forever. Oh God, we pray that they will heed the message, heed the invitation, and come to Christ. Dismiss us now in your fear and with your love upon us. Let your word linger in our minds and hearts to do us good. And use your word tonight for your eternal glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Once again, we thank you for worshiping with us here at Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. May the Lord bless his word as you've listened to it tonight, and bless you and your families as well. Good night, and the Lord be with you.